15, 14, 2017. Anybody want to speak for or against, come up to the microphone. Yeah, well, I didn't want to give you time to think about coming up and speaking, so.
Did he say what we was even talking?
Very close it?
Yeah, it's close.
Call order council meeting for April the 10th, if everyone would stand for the pledge.
United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Lord, bless this body, guide us tonight. Well.
We have roll call.
Scott Brown.
Here.
Brian Grove.
Here.
Wayne Chapman.
Here.
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 Okay, adoption of the agenda.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to adopt the agenda as presented.
Call for question.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Here, or yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
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 Agenda is adopted by a vote of 7-0. Next is approval of the minutes for the March 27th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to approve the minutes as presented.
Question?
Wayne Chapman.
Yes.
Dan Rappelman.
Yes.
Tim Salter.
Yes.
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 Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
They're approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Thing I will say is that we will be having Chinese guests here this week. They come in late Wednesday afternoon and they'll leave early Friday morning. So just so you know, they'll be in town.
You're in Friday. Mm-hmm. You going?
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have anything else? Committee chair reports. Report of any city officers. Okay, we'll move to old business. Ordinance 14-2017, additional appropriation ordinance, amount of $32,010. Your first reading was March 27th.
Motion for second reading on ordinance 14-2017, and we had a public hearing prior to the meeting on 14-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Council Westfall to have second reading of ordinance 14-2017.
Ordinance 14-2017, additional appropriation ordinance containing section 1, 2, all from edit $32,010.
Discussion?
Question?
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
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 And the second reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Motion for third and final reading on ordinance 14-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to have third and final reading of ordinance 14-2017.
Ordinance 14-2017, additional appropriation ordinance from edit sections 1 and 2, $32,010.
Question?
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Wayne Chapman.
Yes.
Dan Rappelman.
Yes.
Tim Salter.
Yes.
Charlie Rose.
Yes.
Tim Westfall.
Yes.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
And third and final reading passes by a vote of 7-0. Move on to new business. First up is Mark Hill with United One.
So, in an early appointment, Mr. Mayor, council members, other guests,
Press. As Executive Director of the Knox County United Way, in early 2016, our Board President Emily Bunyan and Board Member Dan Ravelet and I requested that the City of Vincennes share in the cost of training the three of us by the Harwood Institute, an international organization that trains individuals in the skill of conducting community conversations. The Knox County Library had previously been involved in some similar training in the recent past. We specifically requested this support in light of Mr. Ravelet's involvement in the council and my own connection with the city through the Board of Works. In addition, Mr. Chapman also serves on our United Way Board and has previously served on the State Board. The Harwood Institute trains individuals to turn outward and listen to the community in small groups to recognize their aspirations and dreams for the future and to discuss the obstacles that stand in the way of us achieving those goals. We received 2.5 days of training in Indianapolis and have been involved in monthly phone conferences and webinars with other United Ways across Indiana, and our coaches are both, interestingly enough, from Canada. About. In addition, we have had 2 additional full-day meetings in Indianapolis as a follow-up to our 18-month commitment to this process. We came especially interested in the timing of this work as KCDC had recently convened numerous groups of key individuals from business, education, government, and social services to take a 10,000-foot view of the community. I met with Mr. Udd and told him that United Way would like to take a street-level approach to the community and solicit the input of average neighbor, employees, and citizens of the community. In 2016 and early 2017, we reached out to 12 diverse groups that you have a listing of, people that included Vincennes police officers, high school students, library patrons, hospital employees, young entrepreneurial adults, Salvation Army patrons, CASA volunteers, and grade school teachers. As we listened to these diverse groups, we were able to theme these conversations for common areas of interest and concerns that reflect our community as a whole. In some cases, for example, the Christmas gifting group, we were able to immediately move to an action step, which has led to the development of our charity tracker organization that has made significant differences in how funds are distributed and communicated between our major agencies, churches, schools, and volunteer organizations. Just for an example, our Toys for Tots organization saved $3,000 by directing their dollars differently to families that were in need as opposed to somebody that had already received 5 or 6 things. Following this gathering and theming of the information we compiled, we developed a strategic plan that you have in front of you. That's the 2-page document, and I'm not going to read that all to you, obviously, to outline the next steps that we would take to disseminate this information and devise actionable steps to make lasting impact in our community. United Way has been devoted for the last 3 or 4 years in significant steps to impact the reading level of children in Knox County through the implementation of Kindergarten Jumpstart and K-3 tutoring of youth to assist and raise the reading levels of young people who need to pass the iRead test by the end of third grade. Because of successful fundraising and matching grants, we are able to leverage funds that will pay for this process for the next 3 years. We are now looking to the community to assist us in looking at what's the next big thing that United Way can make an impact with the help of business, government, agencies, and volunteers. In our strategic plan, we determined to devise a community advisory board comprised of a representative of 2 or each of the very groups which we held our conversations. This group met last week, Mr. Ravelet and I were present for that, and we ranked over the list of themes that they saw as most important. You have in front of you a list of 10 major themes that we have discovered and their rankings of these issues. We've asked this group as well as others to consider some possible action steps that we can pursue as a community to reach our joint vision. So if you look at that, that list, it's interesting how that came up, with the number one item being reasons for young people to stay or to return to our community. That was the number one list of the 10 common themes that we saw. The second highest was a need for our community to be more prosperous, and the third was a tie between safety issues and ownership and responsibility. The other issues that were described by all the groups that we met with are us being drug-free, having a greater respect for each other and to emphasize values and have opportunities for mentorship, for the city to be clean, and a need for more volunteers and better communication between groups. So we are looking for ways that we might address some of those issues, particularly the ones that are at the top of that, that list. Our next step is to distribute this information to partners and agencies. Tomorrow, for example, we meet with all of the agencies that receive funds from United Way, who are involved in making our community move forward. This is what we had this evening, and we will be meeting with other groups in the near future as well. We are going to take this information back to our Community Impact Committee and finally to our board as we consider our application for our next Lilly grant that will be coming up as a part of our 2017 campaign. We will then again review our evidence findings with our Community Advisory Group as we begin our campaign work this fall. I can tell you that the Harvard Institute philosophy now permeates all that we do at United Way. It advises on how we hear things from the community and will affect our approach to community problem solving moving forward into the future. The other thing that we hope that you will consider is helping us grow this Harvard initiative. We would like to continue our conversations with even more groups in Vincennes, as well as reaching out to other parts of the county, particularly next to the North Knox area. In order to do this, we need to grow the team of individuals that provide these conversations. Currently, Mr. Ravalette and Ms. Bunyan and I are the three that have been doing all of them, and we can obviously do more if we have other professionals and people and volunteers like yourselves that would be willing to do this work with us. We've recently reached out to Professor Drysdale of VU and two other board members that are willing to be trained in this work, and we'll be training in early June to do that. We'll be doing a small workshop about the work that Dan and Emily and I have done. We hope that not only our people in the city's administration or department heads or employees who will entertain being involved in that work. So that's my pitch to you this evening. It's important work. It's something that we're looking at, you know, trying to make some lasting impact like we have been doing with education more recently. And we certainly welcome questions or thoughts that you might have about the process that we are engaged in. Did I stay under my 5 minutes?
Yes, yeah, thank you. I'd just like to make a comment. As someone that participated in one of the community conversations, it really is a good atmosphere to elicit people to share ideas that they might not ordinarily share
absolutely.
In another way. It's and sometimes that. You know, you got to get people relaxed. You got to get them, you know, some level of trust, and then it's interesting what ideas do come out of that. Is you know, when you take that as in contrast to say we have a public hearing, you know, people can get really tensed up,
right?
Know, in that kind of an atmosphere, it's really kind of the opposite of a public hearing atmosphere.
Absolutely. I mean, community conversations are very open. They are typically three or four questions that we pose. They're open-ended. They're very positive in nature, encourage people to share their dreams and aspirations. And then we do look constructively at what gets in the way of those dreams. What are the obstacles? And then, just as importantly, what can we do to take that next step to move forward? And every conversation, and Dan would certainly share this too, that we've had, there's always some new idea or something really intriguing that we didn't anticipate. And so if you have suggestions of groups that you'd like us to meet with, we're certainly open to that as well.
And I can say also, having served on the State United Way Board, it was chair of the Grants Committee for a while, the amount of money that Indiana Association of United Ways is driving to local United Ways, a lot of those successful grant requests are based on community conversations where they have identified needs in their community, and then they develop a plan to address it, and then they go to seek grants to address that. So these conversations have a very important purpose.
Absolutely, and as we mentioned in our last grant 2 years ago, we were able to leverage $40,000 additional dollars into the county, and through our campaign actually leveraged just as much money towards that early education initiative. So this year, because of the growth of both this campaign and in Crawford County, we're going to be able to apply for $50,000 of dollars, and that would be new dollars that would be coming to our county, and they are not competitive dollars. They are set aside for our United Way, so we'd be foolish not to pursue those, and we'll certainly be bringing those ideas back to the council.
send you for training again, Nick?
Pardon me? No, we're Dan and I are trained. We 18 months is, you know, they're pretty intensive about training. In fact, we have another call tomorrow. I just found that out today, so I was like, so anyway, we have one more day training, but then we'll be wrapping up here sometime this summer. Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thanks.
Okay, next is ordinance 15-2017, additional appropriation ordinance from unsafe building fund. Total is $80,000.
Motion to approve ordinance 15-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Council Westfall, to have first reading of ordinance 15-2017.
Ordinance 15-2017, additional appropriation ordinance, sections 1 and 2, from unsafe building fund, $80,000.
Discussion.
This is because the money has been reverting back when it's supposed to be a non-reverting fund, correct? So we're just trying to put it back in there. That's what it is.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
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 And first reading of ordinance 15-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 16-2017, amending schedules 3 and 5 traffic control signal locations regarding traffic signal at 6th and State Street.
Motion to approve ordinance 16-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall, to read ordinance 16-2017.
Ordinance 16-2017, an ordinance of the Common Council is location section 1-3 after a 90-day trial period board permanent move traffic control 6 state placed two ways up.
Discussion.
Chief, in that time it's been, we haven't had any issues, have we?
Positive, negative comments? Positive or negative comments?
I've had comments from people that were turning off the side streets at State Street or different places that may have had some difficulty getting out onto 6th Street. I've also had positive comments that they really liked that it made it 6th Street flow a little faster.
Originally, I did get like a couple calls in the beginning, but it was more concern about just like, oh, there could be speeding or issues there. But then that was like after the first week or two, and then after that it died down quite a bit. And once people got used to that being a flashing light and a two-way stop there, things seemed to be okay. I know that as a school corporation, they were concerned about the buses, but that wasn't an issue at all. Our bus drivers, if they can go straight, they go straight. If not, they just turn off. You know, you can get to Tecumseh either way from that side. So I know that was concerned at the beginning, but what I've seen since then, those first couple weeks of the 90 days, I really haven't heard anything about it since.
I think the concerns that I had, the people that had called me, they were concerned because both those lights went down at the same time, and there was confusion that they were both going to be eliminated.
Right.
And once the one got operational, then I think the problems were fixed.
I can tell you my office has received several calls wanting this light to be turned back on. Way outnumber the ones that don't.
I couldn't get across it today.
And it was, like Dusty said, it was people trying to get out on 6th Street that couldn't, and maybe because there was never a break in the traffic.
I couldn't get across today either. I had to turn and go down 6th Street and then come back up.
But with that said,
was just one time.
If we turn this light back on, it's probably going to be about $30,000 to repair it.
Right. My proposal, my request, if we turn this light back on, is that we update it to a manner that it functions better. To start off with, we'd have to get a new cabinet.
The cabinet we have was rated for parts for Minneapolis in a vain attempt to fix that one, and that didn't happen. So we're in the same ballpark we were for Minneapolis. We would need approximately $20,000 to replace the cabinet. Next thing we need at this signal that we didn't need at Minneapolis was we'd have to redo the loop detection system. That was the problem that started this whole conversation. A request from my office was that the loop detectors are failing. We had already paid for one resplice. I think it was $600 or $700. That splice has already failed again. The concrete around the loop detection systems are failing. So my recommendation would be a new loop detectors installed on State Street. The way I would propose this light function is very similar to Second and Hart, in that we have detection on the side street but not on the main street. In this case, we'd have a detection on State but not on Sixth. And what that would do is a default to a green light on Sixth Street unless there's a call for traffic on State. That's the way I think I'd like to eventually update a lot of these signals to that type of function. So if you do choose to turn the light back on, that's what I would request, is funding for the new cabinet and updating the loop detector system.
And we're probably looking at, what, a maximum of $30,000?
Right. I've been trying to get an estimate out of Wade Hummel, and I've asked him twice in the last 2 weeks, and he must just be buried in work right now. So the Minneapolis controller box was, I think, $17,500, and I'm ballparking the loop detector system at $10,000. I don't think it'll be that much. So
right, so you're saying $30,000 total for everything?
Yes,
correct,
for State.
Towards an updated. And as far as the accidents, I did have a call today that said that there was one serious accident there in the last week or so.
I didn't specifically search, because
but this would fix both issues if we just fix right. The light correctly.
If I'm allowed to update the cabinet and the loop detection system, then I'm perfect. I'm A-okay with this signal being turned back on.
And you'll basically have through traffic unless somebody.
And I mean, and what we're talking, you said it'd be basically default green, and then whenever traffic would pull up, then it would signal that there's traffic there for it to stop. So you'd have a better signal.
Yes, it would be functioning much more efficiently.
The biggest problem with this signal is it's outdated.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem with a lot of the signals in town.
Right.
That's why we decided, we'll just take a 90-day trial and see how it goes, and shut it down to where it's through on Sixth and stop on State.
If you're going to do that, I'd make the observation I have more trouble getting through 17th and Hart than I do ever State and Sixth. If you're trying to make a left turn from, say, 17th Street on, or 19th, I'm sorry, 19th Street. Which I think, and I just make a right turn and then flip around, which I think is what a lot of people in the big cities do.
I call it a Michigan left. There's a technical term for that.
It's a Michigan left. Yes. Thank you. I wondered what the term was.
I come through that intersection quite a bit. I've never had a problem.
I've seen it several times at rush hour, and it doesn't look to me like State Street traffic is backing up at all.
I mean, no. Most I think I've seen there was, I think at lunchtime I went through and I saw three cars. But yeah, as soon as I passed, two of them went through.
Did Quickies make any concern about their inflow, outflow?
Not since the trial started. I talked to the owner beforehand, and he said that, just off his hip, he's like, yeah, I'd like it to stay on. But he said, let's do the trial. And I said, after the end of 90 days, we'll have a comment period. If you have any issues, let us know. And I haven't heard anything since the trial started from the owners of Quickies. Owner.
So, Mary, you said you've had significant calls.
Yes.
Is this less than the one that we did by Dairy Queen?
No, probably more.
Yes. And you know
complaints about it, not ways that they want to turn back on. And it's basically residents that live on these side streets like Rosalian, Manila, trying to get out onto 6th Street. They're saying that the traffic is constant. There's no break.
Yeah. And you know of one accident.
And there was one accident. The gentleman called me today and said, I'm telling you, there was a bad accident there just a week and a half ago, I thought he said. He said, so.
It doesn't slow traffic down. People get, they get going and they...
There's not a gap in the traffic.
Right.
And JP described that as well, because you get the traffic flowing, whereas you may break that traffic up occasionally where they can kind of get off of those, some of those side roads. You don't have that as much, but this would kind of return some of that gap into it.
I agree.
Were any of these lights in certain sequence or timed before?
We don't have any interconnect system in this town. So there is no communication between any signals in Vincennes. With the, okay, take that back. No city owned. The state, the four lights at Hart, Kimmel, the two interchange, and Veterans, those are interconnect, and the state manages those with our input. Other than those four, there's no interconnect.
But our street department just goes out occasionally and has to reset them.
Yeah,
so
each,
all working,
each.
Like on 6th Street, if you're coming from bus run going towards Willow, to get those to make sure that they're working.
Yeah, those are just timing in each cabinet individually.
Where you're not getting hit by each one.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's on a pre-time system, which is inefficient. But yeah.
I think even the one, just the one accident, I think it'd be worth the $30,000 to fix the current light. And it's not going to slow the traffic unless they need to be crossed there, so.
Not going to gap the traffic. The speed of the traffic is Dusty's job.
Yeah. You can pay for the fixing the light.
We have to have some added control in that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, JP,
the light will help create gaps, not
with,
slow traffic down.
With the improvements that have been stated, this route is your preferred route? I mean, this option is your preferred option?
I'm okay with either one.
Either works for you. I mean, there's pros and cons to both.
Yes, absolutely. I think putting up the modifications, fixing the light, will help create a lot of the gaps that we're looking for the other side streets.
This is kind of,
if I had to decide one way or the other.
This is kind of a somewhat different issue, but it has to do with traffic and speed. You know the signs where they've been radar detection, they've been putting up, and it shows you how fast you're going. Are you just putting those up in certain areas of town for a couple of weeks and then moving them around? They do. I can attest to that.
We also have found some where we really didn't see any problem like it's been described. So they've been a good tool, definitely, to help us know where to best put our manpower to try to get people slowed down or whatever the case may be.
I do like it.
They also count and everything, too. So, for instance, I may know 1,000 cars went through that during the time we had that turned on. There was X amount of violators and, 10% were 10 miles per hour speed limit, 5% were this amount of the speed limit. So it's a pretty neat tool.
I like it when you just change them and people don't know where they're at, and right, you can see them braking immediately, and you get usually a long line. It's, oh, there it is.
I like to speed up and watch it go.
Right.
So what is the administration's recommendation on this ordinance then?
I'm going to say that we spend the money and turn it back on. So with that said, if they do not pass this, then the light is turned back on, correct? If this is a no vote, then we'll see what it says. Yes.
How quickly can you do that?
It waits. About signals, so difficult. Wade is the only company in this part of the state that does this work. Everybody knows anybody else? Let me know. I'll be happy to call them. but
even though we both turned up on, it won't be turned on immediately.
That would be my recommendation is
wait for the new cabinet.
Let me get the cabinet ordered, let me get the work scheduled, and well, the turning back on will be in this new form. Right, recommendation. I don't know if you asked anything for that or not, but it'll be turned back on, but it'll be just a street department thing that have to get it functioning properly before we turn it back.
Right.
I like that.
So when we vote on this, we're either voting yes to eliminate it or no, we're turning it back on. Just to be clear on the vote, right?
Correct.
But turning it back on with Sixth Street flow enhanced,
right?
Too. Okay.
And
that was what was frustrating about that
flow.
Signal. You'd be sitting there right. On State or Six, there wouldn't be a single car across the eight.
That's because the loop detectors are failing.
Exactly.
I wasn't.
Okay, well, call for the question then, yeah.
Dan Ravalet?
No.
Nope.
Salters?
Yes.
Shirley Rose?
No.
Westfall?
Yes.
Bob Brown?
No.
Brian
Bro. No.
Okay, by a vote of 2-5 against this ordinance fails.
Leave it to the engineer to get a mixed vote.
Way to go.
So the light will be turned back on. You'll get things ordered.
But not immediately.
Next up is ordinance 17-2017, additional appropriation ordinance from Edit. Military Museum match was $50,000. Youth sports annual commitment was $100,000.
Yes. Okay.
From Riverboat, Greg Park Vaughn Trail, $20,000. And I will tell you that part of that $20,000 will probably go to replace the fence around the horseshoe pits.
I believe no.
And the $20,000 is because it went over.
Yeah, the $20,000 went over. The Vaughn Trail went over. There should be a few thousand left out of that, like $3,500 to put a new fence up.
Okay.
I need the fence for that.
Just in a
motion and a second.
Mr. Mayor, Kirk Bushy did send us an email. I thought he sent it to everyone. If he didn't, if we're just going to have first reading on this tonight, I'll be happy to send it to everyone.
And this is basically what this, if you make the, somebody makes a motion.
Motion to approve ordinance 17-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to read and approve ordinance 17-2017.
Ordinance 20-2017, additional appropriation, 17-2017. Sections 1 and 2, a total of $170,000. Two from Edit and one from Riverboat.
Okay, discussion. I will tell you. Under discussion, the $50,000 military grant, military museum grant was, if you remember, Judge Osborne was here, requested the money. They did get the grant, so now they need the match. That's $50,000. And then youth sports, the sports, they have been using the money. Like Shirley said, there had been an email from Kirk, and we'll make sure everybody gets that. So. And then girls softball show the improvements they're making, and I'll have soccer.
Just to make sure I'm right, girls softball, baseball, soccer?
Right now, yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure.
And then the other $20,000 I said is to finish Vaughn Trail and to put a fence up around the horseshoe fence.
Yeah.
Do we have a timeline for when they're going to do the Vaughn Trail? Because they're just putting that rubber coating, right. Correct?
If, remember they paved it last fall, then it was getting too cold to put the rubber down on it, so they have to come back this, they're going to come back this spring.
Right.
It gets warm and stays warm to finish that. And I can tell you the youth sports have been using the money and have done some great things with it. girls softball's done a lot of work to their concession stand, getting it so they flood the sidewalks and different things out there. So it's really making a big difference for these girls.
Didn't Cub League use a lot of it for parking issues?
The parking, the restrooms.
Right.
And surely they receive the email. We'll make sure that everybody gets a copy of that.
So right.
And I know that they're having their opening April 20, maybe. And I know that you're all going to be invited to come to their opening night.
You throwing out the first pitch?
No.
All right, we're just checking.
Will we get a report of the softball?
And softball, I'll get with them and tell them that we need a report. They'll be glad. I mean, they're so excited about getting the money and making all the changes they're making. So, yeah.
It's pretty amazing if you haven't been out there. I just started back over to Houston this year for softball after having been there with my 1-year-old daughter many years ago. It is fabulous out there. The new bathrooms and facilities. Yeah, I was super impressed. I couldn't believe it.
Question?
Yes.
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 Scott Brown.
Yes.
Brian Grove.
Yes.
Dan Rappaport.
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 17-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 18-2017, additional appropriation ordinance from Edit for second. Neb Black, total of $17,102.
Motion to approve ordinance 18-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to have first reading of ordinance 18-2017.
Ordinance 18-2017, additional appropriation ordinance sections 1 and 2, $17,102 for second. Deb Black.
Discussion.
Question.
Yes.
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 Okay, first reading of ordinance 18-2017 passed by a vote of 7-0. Next is resolution 4-2017 authorizing transfer of funds from Edit to Blight Elimination in the amount of $130,000.
Motion to approve resolution 4-2017.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall to read and approve resolution 4-2017.
Resolution 4-2017, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, authorizing transfer of funds, section 1 and 2, from Edit to Blight Elimination, $130,000. This program funded Blight Elimination Program.
I think we're already, we owe a contractor like 80,000. For homes torn down, and we're having a hard time getting the reimbursement from the state, the process. So we're asking to use the Edit dollars, and then once we get the reimbursement, it'll go back into Edit.
How are we coming on getting the rest of
it? I think we've torn down 11, 12, and we have another 12, 15 to go. And he's getting ready to do the advertising on all those properties. If you know the remember, the county's worked with us and gave us properties through the commissioner's sale. So everything's moving good. It's just the process of getting reimbursed from the state.
So it's kind of a double whammy. It's slow to get the proper property owner, and then it's slow to get money back from the state. So this will hopefully speed up one of the ends.
We're hoping now that we've got reimbursement back for the first home, they're going to try one more home on its own, and then they'll try multiple homes.
Okay.
Yes. Website. I submit claims and it's denied. We upload more documents, the same documents that we uploaded before.
So that's how this program just works through the state website?
The reimbursement. SIDC takes care of uploading all the documents for the reimbursement. She calls me, I submit it. We have to wait 5 days for them to say, oh, no, that's denied. Talk to someone up there and they're like, oh yeah, it's all right. Our formatting just must not work. We I will approve that one, submit it again.
Sounds efficient.
So then we have to wait 5 more days to find out if they are going to approve it. And the first 2 or 3 that we did, I mean, it was a week and a half, 2 week process to finally get one passed. So, yeah, it's just been lengthy.
Are we just putting the money up front?
Right. As soon as we get reimbursed from the state, it'll go back to Ed.
Question.
Charlie Brown?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Bob Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
Yes.
Dan Avalanche?
Yes.
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 And resolution 4-2017 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is claims. Need a motion?
I'm trying to find the amount. Motion to approve the claims in the amount of $583,224.96.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Council Westfall, pay the claims in the amount of $583,224.96.
Question.
I've got the most recent version.
Yes.
Dan Ravalek?
Yes.
Blaine Chat?
Yes.
Ken Salters?
Yes.
Charlie Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
Bob Brown?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the claims are paid. Miscellaneous. I do have one thing. We recently bricked the wall for the main, which it was ours to brick.
Looks nice.
It does look nice. And now we need to move forward with Gimble Corner. And the only reason Gimble Corner has been delayed this long is that there were different individuals looking to buy the building, and we were working with them. It was in, but it got to the enough.
Yeah, I'm sick of looking at it. Something. I can tell you that much. I know I've talked to you about it before.
And I told you before it had an estimate. I want to say it was like 98,000. I think we've got a recent one that was closer to 60. Maybe just like
what we see on the main. So what would we look in time wise on that?
If you guys are good with spending the money, then we are. This one was done whenever we tore the bed. It was all in the process to do that one. It just started.
But you think you've got one for 60?
It's been done now. It's not, huh?
Yeah, do you think
But it looks a lot nicer. And it is, those walls are ours to fix. We aren't helping the owners of the buildings that were bricks attached to. It's our problem.
The reason is because the unsightly part was part of the building that burned and that we acquired, so that
the building we shall not speak of.
And I will say that we probably daily send letters out to we need to take care of our property.
Originally, I thought that was, you know, the building that was left, but if you go up there, you can clearly see that the building that is left is the building that was torn down. Or what?
So if we get something here within the next week or so, we can discuss it and vote on something?
Or if you can just tell me to move forward with it. And I'll get
it. Yeah, I mean, I would.
If you guys are all in agreement, I'll just move forward. And
Well, it's a very visible corner.
It's the first thing you see when you come over the bridge.
I mean, just think of like all the things we do downtown. I mean, for years now, we've had to look at that wall. And I know each one of us has gotten a complaint about how that looks.
And it was somebody would be looking at it, we'd wait, and then it was like, it's to the point, it's like, we just need to break it. The thing was, if somebody buy that building and need the property, part of the property next door, Gimble Corner for parking, if they would have, we could have worked something out for the property if they brick the wall. Now that we're going to brick it, price of that property. Because we're having.
Is that property actually being marketed? I mean,
we don't have a for sale sign on it, but yeah, it's.
If I was a bester driving through town, how would I know that potential site I could purchase?
I don't know, I guess.
You put a giant for sale sign?
I don't think we have to put a giant for sale sign, but
that's
some
the only
little.
I could put a
nice, I don't
for
know.
For sale sign.
Something attractive, but nonetheless, it would let people know it's available.
Coming soon, ice skating rink.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Anyway, if everybody's good, we'll just move forward with getting that wall taken care of next. I don't have anything else.
I give a shout out to the Franklin Elementary groups. They raised 2 tons of dog food. They were able to give 4,000 pounds of doggy food. They had like a Pause for a Cause event. I had to load a lot of dog food one day. So I'm proud of those little kids.
Yeah, great. Well,
the problem is my eye.
Nothing else?
So moved.